Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace, and Chag Sameach, because we have Shavuot upon us, Pentecost, the day when the Lord gave us the law and the Spirit, hallelujah. This is Ethel Chadwick, welcome to Bagels and Blessings. Today you're going to hear a pre-recorded interview with Tamar Clayman. Why, she's just a sweet young thing that loves the Lord, and she's got a really nice story. You may have heard of her uncle. He's kind of famous in the Messianic movement, Elliot Clayman. I'm going to be telling you shortly how you can be a blessing to him as he's looking for a kidney donor. But just stay tuned for that information. Right now, let's listen to Jonathan Zatel. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We currently meet at 1326 North Winton Road in Irondequoit on Saturdays at 10 o'clock a.m. However, as of June 22nd, we will be meeting at Wallace Hall, Brighton Presbyterian Church, 1775 East Avenue at 11:30 a.m. Please be sure to put it on your calendars. Shalom. Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall live in peace. Shalom Yerushalayim. Shalom Yerushalayim. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat 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 Shalom.
Why, thank you very much. That was the voice of Jonathan Zatel. My goodness, I have been playing his music on Bagels and Blessings since its inception. That is right. Back in 1997, I did my first show, and it's been a glorious ride ever since. However, let me just say that the funds are just a little bit low right now, and if you've been enjoying this show every week for years and years and years, now would be a really good time to help me to stay on the air. You can go to bagelsandblessings.com, and you can just click on the donate button. It would really help me out. If you want me to stay on the air, then I could use your help right now. So thank you, and thank you kindly. All right, Marty Goetz has a new CD out from... He recorded it with his daughter, Misha. This is Live from Jerusalem CD, and it's a song you may have heard before. It's called The Love of God.
The love of God. The love of God. Can you see on that tree the love of God? The love of God, the love of God, there for you, there for me, the love
Again, that was Marty Goetz. And may you feel God's love today. May you know, when you wake up every morning, may you know that you're loved. When you go to bed every night, may you know that you're loved. He loves you so much. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy who says horrible things to you. Don't believe any of those lies. God really does love you. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and stay with me. I've got a great interview with Tamar Clayman coming up. Well, I mentioned Shavuot, Pentecost. That's right. We are celebrating it this weekend, and I know a great song about coming up to the mountain and receiving God's law. This is Israel's Hope, an oldie but goodie. Come, let us go up.
Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Way. Come, let us go up to the mountain of
nations far and wide. Swords will be beaten into plowshares, and nations will not learn war again.
Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And to the house of the God of Jacob. And to the house of the God of Jacob.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the Upper Cervical Chiropractic Care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They have been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester in upstate New York since July 2013. With state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment, they work to determine if they're what you need to get your life back. If you would like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic Care of Rochester, located at 1280 North Winton Road.
And you can check them out online at www.ucccroc.com. At least I can say for one more week, or two more weeks rather, will be next door. They'll be next door to Shema Israel. But remember, as of June 22nd, Shema will be meeting at Brighton Presbyterian Church, Wallace Hall, 1775 East Avenue, across from Wegmans. And our services will be at 11:30 a.m. That's as of June 22nd. So just make sure that you don't show up at the old location. But when you do come to services, you'll notice that we are made up of Jews and Gentiles coming together because we love the Lord. We are one in Messiah. Here's Jill Chernoff from the Restoration of Israel CD, Jew and Gentile.
Forgiving each other, heal our wounds.
world might believe. Ha! Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love. Da 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 da. La da dee da do, oh 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 oh. One in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love. One in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love. Sing it all together. One in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love. One in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love. Oh, 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 oh. One in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love. One in Yeshua's love, one in Yeshua's love. Sing it all together.
This is Joel Chernoff, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Well, in a little while, I'm going to do an interview with Tamar Clayman, but I want to tell you this now, and I'll probably mention it again after the interview, and I want you to write this down, so get a piece of paper and pencil. Tamar has an uncle, Elliot Clayman, who has been diagnosed with chronic kidney disease, and he is in need of a kidney. He has type O blood. Maybe somebody listening to the program today would love to do something, to donate a kidney. If you are interested and you think you can help, you can either contact, let's see, his wife. It would be J.B. as in brother, Clay, K-L-A-Y. So J-B-K-L-A-Y at gmail.com. Or this woman is in charge of the donor system. Her name is Lupita, L-U-P-I-T-A Gomez, G-O-M-E-Z. Lupita Gomez, 858-650-5015. You can also go to sharp.donorscreen.org. So you're going to hear a delightful interview with Tamar Clayman in a few minutes, but I'm letting you know right now that her uncle, who is very well known in the Messianic movement, he has been diagnosed with chronic kidney disease. He's in need of a kidney. He has type O blood. If anybody would like to help, they can contact jbclay, K-L-A-Y, at gmail.com or Lupita Gomez, 858-650-5015, or go to sharp.donorscreen.org. Just want to make sure that you get this information now, because maybe somebody listening to the program can help. Right now, I do want to tell you about Excellent Air Heating and Cooling. They have been one of my faithful sponsors for many, many years. Right now, finally, hot weather, finally, a chance to put on the air conditioning. And maybe you don't yet have central air in your house, but you really wish you did. Call Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. They are family-owned and operated, the best in town. They will really take good care of you. 585-889-7840, Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, because you know what? They are excellent. And right now, as we think about Shavuot, we think about being filled with the Holy Spirit, as they described in Acts chapter 2. This is Sue Samuel. Fill me up.
I see your beauty and I hear your song. I feel your power and I know. tremble in awe. I burn with longing for you, Yeshua.
If you're hungry and in the mood for something different, I highly recommend the Europa Cafe and Deli. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. They're open Mondays, Tuesdays, Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Wednesdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Europa Deli is a gourmet food store that specializes in European foods from countries such as Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Bulgaria, Germany, Poland, ex-Yugoslavia, and more. They have an extensive variety of imported foods, smoked meats, seafood, cheese, pastries, and more. Their cafe and bakery has the most delicious baked items. You just have to try it. Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Call them at 585-385-2040. Come in and tell them that you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. Shalom!
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shemai Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shemai Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shemai Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme, 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 gimme bagels tonight.
Okay, this is a chance for you to win a coupon for bagels. I have a pretty easy question. The number to call is 585-222-2990. And the question is, how many books are there in the Old Testament? Call now, 585-222-2990. Do not hesitate. Do not think, well, I'll let somebody else call. Because if you do that, maybe nobody's going to call, and it'll make me very sad. I know it's a beautiful sunny day out, but I also know that there are hundreds, thousands, millions listening. So somebody somewhere, call 585-222-2990. Don't hold back. How many books are in the Old Testament? Meanwhile, enjoy the Schleps.
It'll be the greatest, so gimme, 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 gimme bagels tonight. Work it out, baby, work it out. All that green cheese and lots of fun, I got to have some now. When Pesach comes again,
Okay, folks, you know I'm a Jewish mother, right? And you know that if I have to, I can play the guilt card. I mean, I don't like to do it. Ask my kids. But, I mean, if I have to do it, I'll do it, okay? I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. Oh, oy the agony. Oy the shame. Oh, how could they do this to me? Oh, is it working? 222-2990. How many books are in the Old Testament? I have all these coupons for bagels to give away. Well, you be thinking about that, because right now, I have this adorable interview with Tamar Clayman. Enjoy. Tamar Clayman, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you so much. Good to be here with you.
Well, I always like meeting another believer, and everybody has a story, and they're all so fascinating to me. So how about we start with how you were raised? Were you raised in a Jewish home?
Yeah, my story is pretty interesting and perhaps different in a lot of ways, and perhaps others can relate to it. But I was actually raised in a more so a Christian home, but of course, both my parents were Jewish. My father was raised Jewish. He comes from a more of a secular background, although he did the Hebrew school and had the bar mitzvah and everything. My mom, her grandfather actually married a Catholic woman, and she remembers seeing her grandfather light the Shabbat candles when she was a little girl. And so eventually her parents came from a Catholic background, and so she was raised Catholic, but both my parents came to faith in their 30s. And so when they did that, they pretty much joined the church. And so my five siblings and I were raised going to the church, but of course knowing we were Jewish. And it was a journey for me to come to the point of realizing what that meant to me personally, which I'm sure we'll get to in this interview.
Was it ever like an identity crisis? Like, did you think of yourself as Jewish and Christian, or just Christian, or did you ever figure that out?
Well, the funny thing is, I definitely feel like it was an identity crisis. And the interesting thing was, in middle school, up until high school, everyone knew pretty much that I was a believer. I was the Jesus girl, and I was different in a lot of ways. And one of the ways was I was just who I was, and people knew me as that girl who was respected because I was comfortable in my identity. And I remember in probably it was around eighth, ninth grade, that one of the students, one of my fellow students said, he pointed to me and said, "Oh, there's the messy Jew." And I said, "I'm a messianic Jew." And so I remember from that point on that there were just going to be some people who did not understand what that meant. And I needed to figure out what did that mean to me to be a messianic Jew. I knew by title, but I didn't know personally what that means and how I should be living it out. And so that came a little bit later in life. I became a believer when I was 7 years old with childlike faith. And that was in 1995, 7 years old. When I was 12 years old, I remember clearly I had this defining moment. And what's funny is, as I look back, a lot of my defining moments happen to be in the bathroom. I don't know what it is, but I was 12 years old. I'm in the bathroom, and maybe it's because I have time to think. So I was in there, and I was just processing and praying. And I remember just getting to this point at 12 years old where I realized that I am the most wretched person on the planet. I thought I was God's worst nemesis, his arch enemy. Like, how could an all-loving, all-holy, all-powerful God love someone like me? I remember just lying in bed at night, and just the thoughts that would come to me, we're not all that holy. and then backbiting with my siblings, disobeying my parents, although they would all tell you I was the angel of the family. But yet I saw myself as someone who I just could not reconcile that with God. And I had this moment where I cried out to God and I said, God, I do not understand you. How could an all-holy, all-loving, all-powerful God love someone like me? And I had a strong sense in my spirit in that very moment, and it was the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and the strong sense was, you are saved. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. Now start walking like it and living it out. And from that point on, I have not questioned my faith ever since.
I'm really glad you shared that, Tamar, because a lot of times when I speak to people who were brought up in a believing home, I always want to find out, well, when did it become personal for them? Because just because you are in a believing home doesn't mean that you are a believer and act like one. And so you just shared how God really made himself real to you in that moment and how it became personal for you. So I really thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. And I would say, for me, it became my relationship, I describe it with people. You know, when you walk with God, it is a journey, and it's a continual learning curve and a process, and it's going to have the ups and downs and challenges, the valleys and the mountaintops. And I just praise God because my faith started at such a young age, and since that point, I have just grown and grown and grown. But I knew at a very young age that I was called. I was called, I was set apart, and that I was dedicated to God and to fulfilling the calling on my life. And so I have been on a pursuit to discover that call and to walk it out. And I had an opportunity when I was 14 to attend the last ever revival in Cincinnati put on by Reverend Billy Graham. And I rededicated my life at 14 there. Not that I felt like I really needed to, but I felt like that was going to be a defining moment that I would remember forever. And I wanted to just solidify my faith once again. And so that was just an amazing experience I had there. But I knew at such a young age that there was a calling on my life. I remember my mother picking me up from grade school. And at this point, I was probably, again, around the age of 12, 13. So it started to become real around then. And as she picked me up, we're driving down the street. And I just had this, again, a strong sense by the Holy Spirit. And I just knew that God called me to do great and mighty things, that I was going to be used to do great and mighty things in my life. And I looked to my mom, who's driving, and I say, Mom, God has showed me that he is going to use me to do great and mighty things. And like a good mother, she turns to me and she says, well, of course he is, honey. Of course he's going to do great and mighty things with you. And I said, Mom, no, you don't get it. It's far deeper and wider than that. We can't even comprehend. He couldn't even tell me what they were because they're beyond my understanding and comprehension. I wouldn't be able to fully understand, but I do know that God is going to use me to do those great and mighty things. And so to this day, I again, on that journey to discover, okay, God, how can I be faithful today? And what is the bigger picture? How are you using me in this day, whether it's with my family or my friends or in ministry? Or, you know, I'm always looking for opportunities. And so At a very young age, God began to work in my heart and my spirit to develop that evangelistic heart that I have to this day, to reach people for the kingdom of God and to see lives truly transformed and to see people truly encounter the living God.
Great. Tell me some of the ways that God has been using you, Tamar.
Wow. Well, I'll just continue to tell you part of my life story. My dad was a Gideon and still is. And so growing up, you know, he always had those boxes of small Bibles. You've probably seen them. And usually those are the type of Bibles that would be in hotels. And so he was a Gideon, and he would always have these Bibles and tracts. And so as I continued my my life as a little evangelist that I was, I would always carry Bibles and tracts with me. And I began to share with my family, some of my siblings who I could see maybe were struggling. And so I would always share, you know, Jesus, you know, turn back to Jesus, or Jesus is the life, and, you know, Yeshua, he provides redemption and hope. And so it started within my own family, just me sharing. And then it went out. And so after high school, I was praying and thinking about what I was going to do. And, you know, really what I wanted to do was travel. Who doesn't want to see the world after high school?
Yeah.
So I really wanted to travel. And I also thought, you know, it'd be really cool to go into business, because then I could dress up in those cute outfits and travel the world. And I remember that being my thought, but God had other plans. So after high school, I actually moved 2 hours north to the city of Columbus in Ohio, and with my cousin. And it was there that I transferred jobs from the Chipotle in Cincinnati to the one in Columbus. And I met some friends, and I met a girl named Anna E., and she and I became really close. She invited me to go to Mexico with her that summer. And this was when I was 19 years old. And I remember praying about that and asking God, is this something you want me to do? And again, I had a strong sense and just total shalom, peace, that God was going to use me in Mexico. And I didn't know how. So I go to Mexico, and this was after I talked with my parents, of course, and they trusted me. And so I went to Mexico that summer, and I'm there for about a month. And I say, okay, God, I came here. You know, what am I doing? I don't just want to wake up, walk throughout the day, go to sleep. What is the meaning, the deeper meaning? And I shared with my friend there that I wanted to see if there was an orphanage that I could volunteer at. And wouldn't you know, her parents knew the directors of a Christian orphanage in Mexico, and they were really good friends. And so for 5 months, long story short, I lived in an orphanage with about 30, 40 kids. And it was there that I truly encountered the power of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. I would study God's word from the morning and the evening, and I had some real divine encounters. And during the time that I had off from working at the orphanage, I would travel. I would travel the streets. I would walk the streets, and I would talk with the neighbors, and I would go house to house, whether it's handing out tracts or praying for the neighbors. And I just really, again, felt that burden, and thank God that I was able to use the Spanish that I knew to do that. And I actually had some Spanish tracts with me. So that was really a pivotal moment in my life, my time in Mexico, because it was then that God called me, what I felt like he called me to ministry full time. That began to really increase my heart to do ministry full time. And so from that point on, I went back home, and I remember my uncle, whom some of you know, maybe even you know, Ethel, Elliot Playman.
I've heard of him. I've heard of him.
Yes. Yes. So Elliot, he is an amazing, amazing man. And he encouraged me to think about going to college. And again, at that point, I was thinking, come on, I don't need education. I just want to tell the whole world about Yeshua. Why do I need education? I can just do what I'm doing. But, you know, there's two things that I never want to do in life. And I knew this. I did not want to limit God, and I did not ever want to limit myself. And so I said, okay, I am going to put it out there, apply to go to Moody Bible Institute. And if I get accepted, I'll go. If not, I'm returning to Mexico, and I'm going to continue to do ministry. Long story short, I got accepted into Moody. And that began my four-year education, in which I received my bachelor's in biblical arts with an emphasis in Jewish studies.
Mazel tov.
And, yeah, so that was my education, and that went on for me to eventually study abroad in Israel. And then from then on, it was just Jewish, you know, Jewish evangelism and ministry. And another defining point while I was in Israel, I had the opportunity to study at Israel College of the Bible in Netanya. And again, I would always carry tracts with me, and I had many opportunities, whether it was the taxi driver or people on the street that I would just randomly talk to. I had opportunities to share with them. And I remember on my off time, I occasionally traveled to Jerusalem, and I was there at the Wailing Wall. And I was just praying as I watched others who were, you know, wailing and calling out to God and really seeking God and wanting a touch from Him, whether they're praying for Israel or their family or healing, whatever it was. And as I prayed alongside my fellow Jewish women in Israel, I remember just thinking to myself, God, they wail, they cry out to You. They are so close, but yet, Father, they're so far because they have not encountered the living Messiah. And I had a real burden to actually stay in Israel and to share, to continue to share with them about the Messiah. And so actually it was in Israel that I felt like God was calling me to Jewish ministry specifically to reach my Jewish people. And in 2009, this was my second year in college, actually before I went to Israel. In 2009, I had the opportunity to intern for Jewish Voice Ministries. And it was there when my boss at that time, she sat down with me and she says, Tamar, why do you want to intern here? And I said, well, I want to be to the Jewish people, and I want to be able to relate to them more, and I want to understand the roots of the Christian faith. And she looks at me and she says, Tamar, if you're Jewish, why do you continue to say them and those people? Why not me and my people? And that was like a light bulb that went off in me. Because it's so simple of a statement, but yet it didn't hit me. It did not become real to me, this idea of Messianic Judaism. Because again, remember, I was raised Christian, and yes, we knew we were Messianic Jews, and yes, we attended the congregation occasionally, but my Jewish identity had not hit home yet. And so it was during that year and for the years to come that I really just started to discover Messianic Judaism and how it's not contrary to be Jewish and believe in Yeshua the Messiah. It's one, and it was always meant to be this way. And, you know, the Torah, the scriptures are all Jewish, written by Jews for Jews. The Messiah is Jewish. And so that began my journey to discover how these two mesh together and exactly what does that mean to me personally as now a Jewish believer. What does that mean to me? How should it affect my life? And so then I went on to Israel, studied abroad for that year. And from that point on, I started to do internships with Jews for Jesus and did plenty of street evangelism in L.A., some of the hardest parts in L.A. And New York City, talking to the New Yorkers. I mean, they're a hard nut to crack. They're a pretty tough crowd there. But, you know, I grew. I grew in those moments, and that burden just continued to grow. And God just blessed me along the way, and I got to have some really great conversations with people.
Wow. God has certainly been using you, and He continues to use you. What about today? What's going on in your life today?
Wow. Well, there's always something going on. You know, I am right now, I'm still in Cincinnati. I've had 4 opportunities to travel to Africa with Jewish Voice Ministries and to reach the Jewish tribes over there in Ethiopia and Zimbabwe. And that was just a remarkable experience. And now I'm back home, and I lead a Bible study. And the director of the organization were perhaps working on doing a women's tour in Israel for next year. And when opportunities arise, I get to speak in churches and speak at women's conferences. And I've done a tour in Hawaii a couple years ago where I was able to really connect with the Jewish community there and the congregation. And so I'm still speaking when I have the opportunity and going to Israel when that arises. And, you know, it's just about being faithful in the every day. And I'm always praying for opportunities. I'm currently writing two books. One will be about specifically reaching women, and it will touch on who we are, our identity in the Lord, and also our purpose. And I really have a burden to help reach women in this, knowing who we are first and foremost, and then we can tap into our calling and our purpose. And so that will be the first book, and I'll also be including a lot of my testimony in that and how God has revealed my identity, both in who I am as a child of God and also, of course, how I came to this idea of just tapping into the roots, the Jewish roots of who we are and what the scriptures tell us who we are. And then the other booklet is going to be something smaller. That's going to be just a simple illustration for Christians who would like to understand more of the Jewish roots of their faith and the feasts and the festivals. And so I'm working on those two right now. And I stay busy. I stay busy with that. So I'm really just continue to pray about the next steps and just keep an eye out because there's some things moving right along that is not time to share, but when the time is right, I'm really excited about what's ahead.
Wow. Tamar, I just want to thank you so much for being my guest. You are such an inspiration. I love your enthusiasm, your energy. I love your faith, and I love to see how God has led you thus far, and I really look forward to hearing more about what he's doing, and when your books come out, you must let me know, and we'll do another interview. How does that sound?
That sounds great, Ethel. That sounds great. Thank you so much. This has been a blessing, and, you know, it's Merkabat Shem Adonai, you know, unto the Lord. Blessed be his name, and I know that we can agree that we'll just continue to pray into the kingdom of God and just praying for our people until the last one says, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Amen, amen. Well, you are a wonderful young lady, and I can't wait to find out more about what God's doing. So let's stay in touch, and I wish you every blessing, Tamar.
Thank you so much, Ethel. God bless you as well.
All right. Shalom, dear.
Shalom, shalom.
And as a reminder, her uncle, Elliot, has been diagnosed with chronic kidney disease, and he is in need of a kidney. He has type O blood. If anybody can help, they should contact jbklay@gmail.com or Lupita Gomez, 858-650-5015, or visit sharp, S-H-A-R-P, .donorscreen.org, because if enough people are watching and hearing about this, I know someone's going to come forward and help her uncle Elliot with a kidney. Again, let's be praying for him, and thank you in advance for all those who are going to share this information. I have the information also on my Bagels and Blessings Facebook page. Right now, we do have time for at least one or two songs. Here's Becca Shea, Yeshua.
Death, no life, no angels, no principalities. Hold on, and Hallelujah, Adonai, come and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Adonai,
And that was Ted Pierce. And now it's time for the ironic benediction with Phil Klein.
Yes, Adonai, Paramalecha, V'yasem Lecha, Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Alechem and Chag Sameach. Happy Shavuot. Remember, my friends, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Shalom Alechem. Peace be upon all y'all. Next week, you'll hear a pre-recorded interview with Dr. Ed again, because there's always more to share from Upper Cervical Chiropractic. Shabbat Shalom!